Welcome to Start Writing Quick Vocabulary and Poetry. Here are the words. Nebbish.
Nebbish is a noun, and it means a timid, meek, or ineffectual person.
Example of nebbish. Lyle may have come across as a nebbish, but he stood up to the bully who gave him a hard time, and the students in the cafeteria who witnessed the confrontation showed their support. So let me go back here real quick. Lyle may have come across as a nebbish. I feel like you should drop that article. just a reference to our grammar episode of dropping articles.
Yeah.
So that's nebbish. It's a noun, a timid, meek, or ineffectual person.
And this is a Yiddish word. Ooh. And it means someone who is unendowed, meaning like they're ungifted. A nebbish.
I think that's interesting that it's a Yiddish word, because a lot of times, like, Yiddish is mixed into English, but I've never seen it, like, officially adopted.
Hmm.
So I'm really surprised by that, particularly because I haven't heard that one, whereas I've heard a lot of other Yiddish words that I haven't seen officially in English dictionaries.
Okay, the next word is frolic. Frolic is a verb meaning to amuse oneself, to make merry, or to play and run about happily.
Example of frolic. Every year, Trolley Dances takes us on a unique journey. Audiences are introduced to new site-specific dance performances at stops along the trolley line. In years past, for instance, dancers have frolicked in public fountains, executed seductive tango moves in a narrow alley, and rolled down grassy slopes. That's frolic. It's a verb, and it means to amuse oneself, make merry, to play, and run about happily.
And frolic is a Middle Dutch word, or its roots are in Middle Dutch, and it is vro is like merry or glad, and lick is like, so to be glad-like.
Huh.
Okay, the next word is a dust. I almost said a just.
Yeah, it looks like
a dust. It's an adjective. It means scorched or burned.
An example of a dust. The dust landscape of volcanic rock and sand can be particularly beautiful at sunset. That is a dust, scorched or burned.
And I'm not getting any etymology on my usual sources. So we'll go on. The next word is recuse. And it's a verb meaning to disqualify oneself as judge in a particular case, or to remove oneself from participation to avoid a conflict of interest. Wow. Yeah.
So, examples of recuse. Because she was a frequent customer at the plaintiff's shop, the judge recused herself from the case. That is recuse. It's a verb to disqualify oneself as judge in a particular case, to remove oneself from participation to avoid a conflict of interest.
I'm not putting this together very well.
Okay.
It's basically, it's Latin and it means the same thing we just said.
wait, but it says to reject another's authority is prejudice, whereas this is rejecting oneself.
Oh, that's true.
So it's shifted from its original meaning, saying you can't because you have a conflict of interest, to now saying I can't because I have a conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah.
So it has shifted in its meaning, but it still means the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. The next word is instauration. Instauration. And it's a noun meaning restoration after decay or dilapidation, or an act of instituting or establishing something.
It says examples of how do you spell this again? Instauration. Examples of instauration. Once humanity dreamed of the great instauration, a rebirth of an ancient wisdom that would compel us into a new age. That's instauration, and it is a restoration after decay, lapse, or dilapidation, an act of instituting or establishing something.
This comes from Latin meaning a renewal. Instauratio. I can't help but think of like renovate.
Oh.
Like to make new again.
But. Yeah, I guess so. All right. And here is the poetry.
All right. This week's poem is by Walt Whitman. I saw in Louisiana a live oak growing. I saw in Louisiana a live oak growing. All alone stood it, and the moss hung down from the branches. Without any companion, it grew there, uttering joyous leaves of dark green. And its look, rude, unbending, lusting, made me think of myself. But I wonder how it could utter joyous leaves standing alone there without its friend near, for I knew I could not. And it broke off a twig with a certain number of leaves upon it, and twirled it around a little moss, and brought it away, and have placed it in sight in my room. It is not needed to remind me as of my own dear friends, for I believe lately I think of little else than of them. Yet it remains to me a curious token. It makes me think of manly love. For all that, and though the live oak glistens there in Louisiana, solitary in a wide flat space, uttering joyous leaves all its life, without a friend, a lover near, I know very well I could not. As always, thanks for listening, and if you would leave us a review or tell somebody about the podcast, that would be great. Thank you.